Joe and Laura and I said, I think we can do that. Just an honor to come here. Thank you for the elders, for Randy. Thank you. They're such sweet kids. Well, they're not actually kids anymore, but they were a long time ago. Just a personal note as Scott Byer had converted them up in Monroe. Scott then, very close friend of mine, at Rath decides to go to Kentucky. And he said, well, would you mentor Joe? And so Joe said, well, could I come down there and work with you? And we said, yes. And I said, here's what we'll do. We'll do a two-year internship. And I said, at the end of 2 years, you're not required to stay. No, you're handcuffed here. Now you got to put in another 4 years. Nor is the congregation required to keep you. We'll mentor and we'll see how it goes. At the end of those 2 years, I said, well, I put in my time. I said, yep, but you're not ready. And it just has heart sunk. He said, I put in my time. I said, it's not about the time. It's about readiness. And I wanted to pick up his spirit. So he trusts Scott. I mean, we worked along fine, but, you know, hey, I'm ready. And somebody said, not yet. No. So I said, Scott, let's do a Zoom. Because I had mentored Scott 20 years before that. And it was a great relationship on my part. And so I thought, well, Scott's going to encourage Joe and help him. Okay, just a little bit more time and it's going to be great. So we got together on Zoom and talking. And I said, now, Scott, why don't you tell Joe what it was like for you? And I'm waiting for the da-da. And he said, Joe, it was absolutely excruciating. I said, oh, no, that's not, it was maybe not that bad, but it was challenging. And Joe just stuck with it, and we're so proud of him. Glad that you are, and our prayers continue for Laura as well. I was saying when I first became a Christian and came out here that somebody asked, they said, you smile all the time. I don't smile all the time. I smile most of the time. But just like everybody else, sometimes you're tired or irritated or there's just challenges. But most of the time, and I got that way because after I was converted and came out here to Washington and back almost before time, 1965, went up to Kirkland, studied there for 5 years, and there were brothers there just a few years older than me, and they had attitudes. I said, I appreciate your song leading, by the way. Powerful, joyous, and I appreciated that. And so there were individuals, I said, how about you as a song leader? Not me, that's not my gift. I tried it, and I had one preacher's wife came by and said, I didn't know of your new talent. And well, I was trying, and she said, don't quit your day job. Okay, so that's not going to be my strong suit. But I looked at individuals that have quality, and I said, I like that quality. You're attentive. You go around making things are okay. I noticed that. Everybody has gifts. And I looked at this one guy. He was positive. He was way more positive than I. And I thought, I like that. I want to build that in. This morning's lesson is on building courage in others. My first thought is, and what I did this one back in my home congregation, East Tacoma, I did this the second of a two-part series. And the first part was developing inner strength for yourself. And that's a quality lesson. But the focus on this one is the companion lesson, and it's just encouraging and helps encourage others, is helping that person, the person next to you, your family member, a new Christian, an older Christian, whatever it is, develop courage. But the question is, how do you do such a thing to give that courage? Mark Twain said, courage is the resistance to fear, not the absence of fear. It's about moving forward despite it. Everybody faces that. A long time ago, I was preaching up in Renton, and one of the elders there, Ross Hines, since passed away, a stocky guy, and he just seemed to, man, nothing seemed to bother him. And I said, Ross, don't you get afraid? He said, everybody has butterflies. You teach them to fly in formation. I said, well, okay, I like that idea. You're dealing with the challenges, not letting the challenges deal with you. Hemingway said, Courage is grace under pressure. That is, you're facing whatever needs to be faced. Don't unravel in the face of it. Every congregation will need to show courage. Every military, every hospital, every family, every person must do it. It's just a part of life. So as you think about that kind of thing, how do you not only manage your own, but help that next person that said, man, I want to be like that, say, okay. I liked this phrasing of it. I don't think it was original with me, but I came across it. Speaking courage into it. How do you help your kids to be more courageous? Your preacher, your family member, your child, whoever it is. Telling others that you believe in them helps them live up to their potentials. Philippians 1 and verse 6, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ. I don't know how long ago now. More than 10 years, Robert Quinn, who himself has since passed away, had his own challenges in life. He came to the congregation where I was and said, can I talk to you? It was after service. I said, sure. And he sat me down and he said, Paul, I believe in you. I said, thank you. But I was trying to absorb, what does that mean to him? He said, every once in a while, I pick somebody out and says, I believe in you. That really struck me. Since that time, I do that, but infrequently, because I don't want it to be, hi, here's my business card, and my name is Paul, and I wash windows. I don't, but if I did, then I had a card. I don't, maybe once every 5 years. So when that person gets that, they know there's a lot of thought went behind that. And what I'll generally do, I'll think about a person, I'll say, that's the one. And I'll get next to them and I say, would you sit down with me, maybe after services? I say, let me tell you something. I believe in you. And then I tell them why. I said, you are a committed person. And you faced a lot of trials, and you're still committed. And you've got a great attitude. And I believe in your goals. You're a blessing to everybody around you. I want you to know I believe in you. And what happens is, that person has been struggling and fighting and doing the best they can, and they realize somebody else says, you did a good job. It means a ton. A gal in our congregation about that time gave me a gold star, one made out of wood, piece artwork, gold star. I began handing them out. People respond. I mean, well, hand them out where? I am in doctor's offices. I'm in courtrooms. Here's a street crew. Fletcher comes up, gets the thing going. Man, you get two gold stars. Why? Because I need people around me that know lots more than I do. And if you let them know you believe in them, they go, I can do that. So what does the Bible say? 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build up one another. It's more than, hey, I just sat here. That's a nice lesson. Now, how can I use that to help the person in the next aisle or in my family or wherever you come across them? Hebrews 12:12, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. That is, you are personally building somebody else up. Isaiah 35:3 and following, guess where that came from? Strengthen the hands and make firm the feeble knees and say to those with anxious heart, be strong. Fear not, your God will come with vengeance and save you. That helps so much. I've been in martial arts for years, and the strongest guy on the mat beat everybody. Fourth degree black belt. Man, that is not the last guy you want to fight. Well, now you got 2 ounces of energy. But sometimes that's what came up, and he'd look at you and say, "You got this." I'm thinking, "Man, I got nothing." And he'd look at you and say, "You got this." And would give you the courage to go the next round. Say, "Okay, now I don't got it anymore." But the idea is, you give other people courage. It's your opportunity to share that strength with others. Stand beside them in trials. Romans 15 and in verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those who are without strength, and not just please ourselves. Proverbs 17:17. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I've told people that for decades. You are closer than my own physical family ever. Why? They went their own way. I mean, we cared about each other, but it was highly dysfunctional. Who became my family is those who believe in God. And you're familiar with Ruth, who tells Naomi, "Where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge, and your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." That gives people confidence. You're not sticking close like Job's friends were critics. Yeah, and you weasel, while you're sneaking around hiding something or you wouldn't have all these problems. Yeah, we're your friends to help you feel better. Then you bunch of miserable comforters. Not as absentees. "Well, you know, I care. I'd be with you if I could, but I'm Demas and I got something to do elsewhere." Not emotionally present only. But while you're doing that, you're sharing, you're listening, you're helping, you're supporting. What happens when people face life and death things? One psychologist says, talk 40% less than they do. That is, you're listening. You're not just, "Hey, let me just tell you, I got all the answers to life." You're saying, "Tell me what it's like for you." You're standing beside them in trials. How do you build courage in others? Well, you model it for them. In 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul says, "In speech and conduct, in love and faith, show yourself as an example of those who believe." If you want to see it in others, try to demonstrate. I don't mean being a show-off, but you're just facing your challenges and heartaches and reversals, and you do the best you can, holding your head up, being as positive as the circumstances will allow. Rudyard Kipling's poem, If, I memorized as a young man. I was probably 20. Great. It's like he's telling his son, if you'll do all these things, then yours is the world and everything that's in it. And what's more, you'll be a man, my son. A lot of things spoke to me because I didn't have a lot of guidance as a kid. You just kind of, I kind of went off and did the best you knew how. That wasn't very good. And one of the things Kipling said, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, you are my problem. Well, maybe not. But let's follow what Christ has to say. That'll give us stability. In 2 Timothy 1:16, Onesiphorus, whom often refreshed me, he was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. I said, well, Dick Siegenthaler, he's in jail again. I ain't going to see Dick, man. So that this guy searched him out. He said, I'm going to find my brother. What a great spirit this guy had. He modeled it. He stood with the person struggling. And he spoke it to him. Building courage in others is possible as you remind them of their identity. I like this graphic. Certainly not, it's not a first century, but middle age thing. And here's a warrior, like a crusader. And, you know, he got 11 arrows in his shield. He was in battle. He is a warrior. And he didn't run. If he did, the arrows would be on the other side of the shield, right? In any other direction. You are a warrior. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God. I talk to people fairly regularly about that. That we are warriors. We are military. We are God's military. Put your shoulders back, your head up, chest out, not braggadocious, but you're not running away. When he says, be strong in the Lord, that word strong, and there's a different word for strength and might in this particular verse. When he says, be strong in the word, that's the word you're familiar with, the Greek word dunamis, from which we get dynamite. It's interesting because he's not showing, hey, you got it all figured out, and so you've manufactured it. Because in the Greek, you may not care about this, but it has a, you know, if you stay awake another 11 seconds, it has some neat things. It's in the present tense. Not only it's going on now, it suggests a continuous action. And the second thing that blew me away, it's passive. It's what he got. Not what he, man, I got here, I've been pumping iron and I'm reciting all these positive mental attitude things. It's what God gives. I went, wow. You be strong with the strength that God supplies. That is, fight life's battles with courage and confidence, knowing God is ultimately in control. I don't know how many times I had to be run over with the train thinking, yeah, if I do this and this and this, it'll all work out right. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I don't have all the answers. I don't know how to do it. That's God's business. I need to show up and stand up. And he said, you know, the idea, be strong, that is, you be strong. The plural in Hebrews 12:14, you plural, that is, all of us have not resisted unto blood, that to the point of shedding blood, in your striving against sin. We try to do what's right. We don't always get it right, and sometimes it's spectacular how poor it is. He said, but I tell you what, you probably haven't lost 2 quarts of blood in the process yet. Early Christians did. We get beat up. We get scarred. We hurt. But I was sharing with some that quote, it's from a song, No Scars in Heaven. And he's really talking about a friend who died and that you earned your scars. But in heaven there'll be no brokenness and all will be made new. And there'll be no scars in heaven except on the hands now holding you. Metaphorically, here's Jesus. He's paid the price. We've surrendered. We've run our race. And he's given us the glory. And no more scars. No more wheelchairs. No more canes. No more nearly blind. Can't remember. God said, I've got it all figured out. Your job is you are a warrior. You show up. You then have the opportunity to pray with them and for them. In Luke 22 and verse 32, Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed that your faith may not fail. Well, how did that work out in the arrest, right? Hey, Peter said, man, I am out of here. Hey, no, wait a minute. I saw you with, no, you're mistaken. No, your speech says you're a Galilean. He's cursing. I don't think that means profanities. He's uttering oaths, affirming, supposedly in God's sight, that I don't know him. Peter, you are a liar and a traitor. Jesus meets him then on the shore of Galilee. And he said, do you love me more than these? I mean, you were the braggadocious one. All fall away, man. I'll be the last man standing. And, of course, he doesn't use the word agape. But phileo, I haven't been acting in your best interest, but you know, I always liked you. Good. But you ran away. Peter learned. Peter grew. That wasn't his only failure, but he did better. And it is said, and you're aware, that on his execution, it is said traditionally that he requested to be crucified upside down because he did not deserve to be crucified like his master. I go, oh, wow. He had to grow. Jesus prayed for him. In Philippians 1:4, Paul says to the saints at Philippi, how I'm always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. How, man, we don't think about that. Yeah, well, he prayed for them. He said, all the time. Wow. Romans 1, 9 and 10, Paul said, God is my witness. So he's saying an oath before God. God, you know what I'm about to say is absolutely true. How unceasingly, to Rome, that he's never yet been to, I make mention of you, you saints in Rome, that I've never yet met, always in my prayers. How often do we pray for one another? The church, those that are, usually, for me, it's a lot, here's the ones that are hurting. How's everybody else doing? I don't know. They're defined. God is showing us the saints prayed for all the saints, all the time. I go, huh. You're praying with them and for them. Colossians 1, 9 and 11. How we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you might be strengthened with all power according to what? His glorious might. Keep on growing, Christians. You're doing good. Keep on fighting. Strap on that armor. Say, I got whipped out last time. I didn't come out so good. That's okay. You've learned. You've learned. You keep on battling. So pray with them and for them, and then challenge them to move beyond their comfort zone. Oftentimes, I'll talk to a person that I want them to take the next step, whatever it is for them. And they've been a little resistant. I kind of, well, here's that foot. Okay, get that next foot out there. And you can see that and I did this just Saturday to an individual that had been resistant to growing. And it said, you're right. And so what you're challenging them to do is, if you're afraid of stubbing your toe, it's extremely rare when you don't move your feet. And so you've got to actually move that foot, take a step, and growth is apt to happen. Mordecai says to Esther 4:14, he said, who knows whether you have not attained to royalty for such a time as this? You're on the spot. You've got the chance. Don't pass it up. Among my favorites is God to Elijah. Jezebel has put out a death warrant on him. Man, I'm out of town. And so he's down there in Horeb, the wind and all this and that. And God comes to him, 1 Kings 19:9, and he says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Well, God, let me tell you. Elijah, you got a mission. You go back where you came from. I want you to anoint Hazael king over Syria, Jehu king over Israel, and Elisha as prophet in your place. One of the things that overcomes fear is action. Just do it. And challenge them. Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:6 and following. New International Version reading says, fan into flames the gift of God. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power. We've all been camping sometime or another, and if it's overnight and the next morning you get up and there's the ashes there, but sometimes there's enough heat. All you got to do, fan it a little bit, put some kindling on it, blow on it, wave on it, whatever, and then pretty soon it springs back to life. So challenge them to move out of their comfort zone. You can only grow if you're willing to feel awkward and uncomfortable and try something new. Sometimes I'll illustrate it as if you have a bullseye, and so successive circles. The center of the bullseye is your comfort zone, where you like staying because you know how, what to do and all such as that. The next ring out I describe as your awkward zone. I'm not there yet, but if I did, man, I wouldn't be completely comfortable. And the ring beyond that is your miserable zone. I never ask people to go from your comfort zone to your miserable zone. That seemed too big a jump. I said, what if you took one step? Just get over there a little bit in that awkward zone. That's how you learn to drive and do everything, walk, everything you've ever done. Challenge that awkwardness. And you're asking them to move beyond their comfort zone. One person said, ships are safe at harbor, but aren't built to stay at harbor. Why you build them? Build them to go someplace, do something. Yeah, but bad things can happen. Yep, and good things can happen. That's why God created you. And so number 7 then is celebrate every small victory. Zechariah 4:10, they've come back from captivity, they're rebuilding the temple, and the people, some are excited, others are, oh, they're crying. And Zechariah records for us, who has despised the day of small beginning? Yeah, but it's not what we wish, and what if this and that? Look, you made some progress. Celebrate that. How many people watch fireworks, whether outside or on your, at home last night? Anybody do that? All right, here it is. 6 of us. What? It's the 250th anniversary of the country. I get my daughter who lives close, and our grandchild, and we just get out there, and we got whatever those are, swizzle color sticks around your neck, and eating junk and cheering the fireworks. Why? Yeah, but there's problems in the country. There have always been problems in the country. But well, sometimes people say, I see it, it's not a big deal. Oh, man, it was really exciting where we were. And I took pictures of it. I sent it to people that weren't there. Celebrate the victory. Enjoy the positives. Matthew 25:23. Here's the guy that only had 2 talents. And what did the master say? Well done. Yeah, man, that's kind of pathetic. Only 2. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. It is said, true or not, a talent was 75 pounds of silver. It was estimated to be 40 years of labor. So 2 talents was a matter of weight, and it was huge. One brother in Christ with us named Vince Lindbergh, tall guy, strong, song leader. He could preach. He could lead singing beautifully. He was whatever, CEO, CFO, something in his company, and blah, 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 blah. Goes into the doctor. I'm not feeling all that strong. Doctor says, man, you got 4-stage pancreatic cancer. Wham! So what's he do about that? He said, well, I'm taking chemo. When I'm healthy enough, I lead singing. And then when I can, we're going to work on finances. He said, I've retired from work. I'm helping the congregation. He said, I was faithful all my life. But what did I do? What he's saying, he looked at it, he said, I could have done more. And I told him, you encourage believers like me with your gift for 50 years. You keep shining your light. You keep leading those songs. You keep providing shepherding for the congregation. You provide the Bible class teachers and the personal evangelists, building cleaners. Everything you do counts for Christ. Acts 13:36, another one of my cherished scriptures. David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep. How about serving to God 200 years before? If he was just back in the signers of the council, I wasn't there. I have no. What about 200 years from now? I don't have it. I'm not going to be on earth. I got people say, what are you going to do, Paul? I thought, well, I used to think I got 10 years. Now I say, if you ask me, how long you got? I look at my watch. I said, we're probably good for the next 7 minutes. And then the sermon's over. Beyond that is unknown. I'm just going to serve God. God said, that's your last breath. And it is. Our job as believers is to serve God in our own generation. You do the best you can with what you got, where you are, and right now. But that's true for all of us. We just, God, I'm not very good or perfect, certainly, and I've got this flaw, that flaw. I want to tell you, some of you guys, it was Dick, I think, was telling me, restored his 19-something, 72 Chevy or GMC or something. I want to tell you, you guys know this, a spark plug wrench is really helpful. Mike Evans, he knows about building stuff. Certain tools do great. Spark plug wrenches are awful in changing tires. They have minimal value as a tire iron changing a spark plug. But if you right tool, right time, it is sublime. So you just serve God where you can. Let your light shine. So as we wrap up this morning, what's it take in building courage in others? You speak courage into them. Let them know you have confidence in them. They've got potential. You think they could take that next step. And you stand beside them in trials. They look, man, too big for me. I ain't going in there. Say, I'm with you. What's the next thing to do? As Joe was with Laura in the hospital, I go in to see Joe. There's Randy. And we're standing there sitting. Why? Because you're encouraging somebody. Did he ask you to come? No, but it meant a ton. So good for you, bud. Because that's everybody. That's just the human emotion. And you model strength for them. You remind them of their identity when they feel beaten up. You are a warrior. You're going to do fine. Tough up. I'm with you. And you pray with them and for them, and then tell them you are. It surprised me as a younger preacher, people say, I'm praying for you, Paul. I said, really? I thought my job is to pray for everybody else. When I found out they're praying for me, it feels like I can do this. It gives that person courage. And then challenge them to move beyond their comfort zone. Okay, I'm going to ask you to move from where it's comfortable to where it's awkward. Would you be willing to try? I could. All right, here's how we can do that. And then celebrate every victory. Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Christians, it's just joyous to share this with you. Why? Because this is our Christian life. This is where we all live. And we say, okay, how are you going to do? I'm good for the next 9 minutes anyhow, and I'm going to try to do it. And well, you just grow in that. I am so thankful to be here, so thankful for you and how well you're doing. We got an invitation here, and song number 906, All Things Are Ready. You'd like to be standing for that? You're going to lead us in that song? Let's be standing and sing number 906, All Things Are Ready.